I'm getting blown up like a balloon every night.
Oh my god. So in the morning, it's like, I just touch his belly. He goes, it's like, eek.
And let's then play a game like, called Guess What's Getting Edited Out of This Podcast.
You better not, because this is awesome. You press the belly and it just goes,
have a sex toy, we'll try it. Have a fetish, we'll try it. We masturbate and copulate to recreate and educate. We are the Trisexuals.
Welcome to the Trisexuals Podcast. I'm Max Chameleon.
I'm Lily Chameleon.
And I'm Kit.
Well, Six Floors, sorry about the wait on the podcast.
I know that we're coming
out like, what is it, a month late at this point or just 2 weeks
late? Just 2 weeks late.
All right, two weeks late. Lily and I were moving. We are now recording from the absolutely new, well, I mean, I guess it's not new, but we moved into our new apartment is what I'm trying to say. The new headquarters of Trisexuals Podcast. I'm sure there's going to be all sorts of fun noises and things that I have to painstakingly comb through this audio and find and edit out that I'm not used to because it's a new place. But such is life. I'd happily do it because I love each and every one of you, except for you. You know who you are. Anyway. we're going to go pretty quick here. A few things I wanted to mention real quick before we get into our usual segment. I wanted to give a shout out right away to Damn Average and Uberime because I've heard that they actually like to listen to the podcast while pouring. So actually, I guess it's Uberime who was listening often while pouring and suggested to Damn Average that they listen. I hope you did listen. I hope maybe you're pouring a toy right now as you listen to my soft, velvety voice. And I wanted to thank you guys for listening. And you know, I was happy to hear that you listen while pouring.
And if you do pour while listening, we'd love to know what toy you were pouring while you were listening to us.
That's a good point.
Yes, please let us know.
We also got to give another shout out to Damn Average because they might be looking into making some silicone chameleons.
Yes, because actually, so Damn Average, they make this amazingly cute little silicone frog. I mean, it's probably the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, talking to them on Twitter, I'm like, I wonder if they've ever done a chameleon. And so they, you know, wrote back and was like, well, let me see what I can do.
Yeah, so who knows where that might go. We haven't heard back from them yet, but we'll know. One other thing real quick. I wanted to let you know that I'm going to be slowly catching up on the YouTube videos. I know that the YouTube podcasts have fallen behind. I think we're, you know, three podcasts behind at this point, but look for those. I'll be trying to do one a week to catch up, and eventually we'll be releasing the YouTube podcast along with the regular audio release podcast. I also wanted to mention real quick, I got fucked by a cactus while I was trying to get the microphone for this. I have a cactus on my desk. I missed and got it in my finger.
And then if you have a birthday, Sexplorers, please let us know because we might give you a awesome little shout out.
Yeah. Not on the show.
Not on the show, but if you watch our Twitter, you'll see it.
A new thing that we're doing. Okay. Well, there's other things to talk about, but I forget them all right now. Now it is time for What's Playing. And I know that I don't have much to talk about. Lily, I know that you have one thing to talk about.
Two things, actually.
Oh, boy. It keeps multiplying. Okay, what do we got?
So one thing I want to say is in our new place, we actually played with the tremor again.
Yes, that's that Sibian-like toy.
Yes, which was really awesome. And we realized that in our new place, it echoes and shakes the floor really, really hard.
Yeah, so we're going to have to find a way to work with that because you know, we want to be kind to our neighbors.
Yeah. So the second thing is that I want to talk about, it actually doesn't involve a sex toy as far as we actually tried something new for him and I. I sat on a cake.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that goes along with the birthday thing. Hint, hint.
Yeah.
That is actually a good thing to talk about real quick on the podcast. So we were doing a particular photo shoot and a video thing. And I was like, what the hell? Let's have Lily actually sit on the cake. This isn't like, I know that this is a fetish that exists, but it's not something that I'd ever like,
I have to tell you,
into.
It was pretty awesome.
Well, yeah, it was actually far more erotic while I was filming it than I expected it to be. But yeah, it might, we might release that video at some point. I don't know. I have to edit a little bit.
I think we'll release at least some of the pictures because you got some good ones.
So there we go. We played with the Tremor and Cake, apparently. So, so Kit, what have you been playing with lately?
Ooh, I have exciting news. So Dildo Gang Bang. So if you've been listening for a while, you know that I invited everyone to use via Clone a Willy kits to clone your cock or pussy. They have one for both. And send it to me for the Dildo Gang Bang. And I have gotten some in the mail. Sapphire was the first to send me one. And it's really awesome because not only does it glow in the dark, but I can actually see a little like detailed area where there was some pre-cum at the tip that got cast. Really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
It's really cool, you guys. And after that came in, then Reximosaurus, actually, I guess he has all of the pouring and casting equipment. So he didn't actually do a kit. He made a mold and he's cast me now actually three plus a little dinosaur. I had two and he said, oh, I sent you one that has a little tear in it. Let me cast another one. So he was just like, I was like, oh, you don't have to. But he was like, yeah, I will. And it was awesome. He sent me one and it's really awesome. Like I was looking at this, you know, ridge on the other side and I'm like, it's as wide and as thick as my thumb. It's crazy. These crazy veins. And this is why I love cocks. They're all different. They're all amazing. And I'm like, I'm so thrilled. So now I actually have four. So I have more than enough for every hole and then some. And so this is great. I'm like, I'm excited. I'm excited for you guys to send me some more and we'll be doing some fun things with those on Twitter as we go. So this is really neat. Go check out the pictures of how these turned out because they are all amazing. And just because I have the, you know, the fancy one, the Reximosaurus poured with all the equipment and stuff, don't feel like yours has to be, you know, done like that too. If you don't have the equipment, you don't have to have it because the Clone a Willy kits are easy. They're self-contained. You have everything you need. And don't worry if it's like not 100% perfect, if it's got some bubbles or it just didn't turn out perfect. I'm going to love it anyway. So don't be afraid and nervous like, oh my God, it doesn't look perfect. That is fine by me. It's going to still be a lot of fun. So that was my most exciting news. And I have a couple other toys for what I've been playing with that's come in the mail. A newer maker named Fantasy Dangus. Sent me this great little toy. It's based on the Little Shop of Horrors. It's called the Little Pot of Horrors. Feed me, Seymour. Yeah. So it's this great, it's this plant. It's got these great like little spiky things. It's got a pot and these roots and this flower. And it's really cool because it's a beautiful color. I guess it's cast like red on the inside and then the green was poured on the outside. So when you bend it, you can kind of see the red show through. And this one had like a little, I don't know, like a little oops, like a little sort of seam thing on the side. And so he's like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, well, you know, it actually looks pretty cool that way anyway. So I'm kind of thrilled that I have it. So Fantasy Dangus is just getting started up. And they also make shot glasses. I've got two shot glasses and they're perfect for holding like some of the glass eggs I use for ovipositation. So really, really fun stuff. They make good nipple suckers too. The next thing I wanted to say is I got a new toy that actually just won the Best Sex Toy 2019 Alt Porn Awards, and that is the Drago Draken by The Realm. And so it's based on Game of Thrones, and it's got the most amazing dragons on the handle. Basically, it's two toys that you... So you've got a handle on the hilt, and then you've got the actual dildo, and you can pull the dildo off to clean it, and then put other ones on. They make several, like, human-looking ones. I have the nice blue, awesome-looking one. It was definitely my favorite. So this is really cool and, like, really really detailed and well made. I can see why it won the best sex toy for this year. So that was pretty exciting to get it and then have it win, and that happened like simultaneously with the finale of Game of Thrones 2, like all at once. So it was like a lot of stuff hopping and popping there. But yeah, that's what I've been playing with.
Sounds like a lot of good stuff, actually.
A ton of stuff. It's been a very busy little area of time. And I actually have some more things that I'm saving for the next podcast that we'll get to and we'll talk a little bit more about. So,
yeah, sorry about that. If you're waiting to hear about all the awesome stuff that Kit's playing with, we had a guest on and we had such a great conversation that we ended up having to be a little bit tighter in this first part. Blame me.
We don't blame you. We never blame you.
All right. So without further ado, let's go ahead and talk to Doc Wolverine. We had him on the show before, but we thought we'd have him on again and answer some of your sexy questions. So here we go. Welcome back, Doc. It's great to have you back on the podcast. We have some questions from our listeners for you. We have a few other things. But first, why don't we make sure that we, tell us who you are and a little bit about you. So, you know, in case there's people that didn't hear before.
Hi, I'm Doc Wolverine. I'm sort of a Twitter personality mostly.
Do you not exist in real life, just on the Twitterverse?
Well, I mean, I do exist in real life. It's just, you know, mostly people will find me online via Twitter. I am a medical doctor, finishing up my residency in family medicine. So I spend part of my time in the emergency room, the other part of my time just sort of as a general outpatient clinician.
You know, I have friends that spend a lot of time in the emergency room, but not in the same position that you're in.
No, usually they're receiving care.
So the last time that we had you on, Doc, we talked all about different things that people like to put up their back ends.
You can say put up their butt. You can say it.
Their butts. Actually, I did have a question about that because maybe we asked it last episode, but I've since forgot. So I'll go ahead and ask it again. The procedure in which you remove things when people put stuff in them is called an endo. Is that right?
Yes, an endo for short. It's generally speaking, you call it an endoscope because it's a investigative surgery through the end.
The end. Yeah, we actually we're part of this running group. It's something we've talked about in the show before, called the Hash House Harriers, and you know we have dirty nicknames, that sort of thing. My name was Manahor, and Lily's was Crimes Against Huge Mammaries because she had a breast reduction. But the reason I bring this up is because there was a person's name who I never fully understood until we had you on the show.
Oh my God!
I think he was in school to be a nurse or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And like I said, everyone gets like a fun, usually sexy name. And his name was, and he would oftentimes make innuendos. So his name was In Your Endo. And I never understood what they meant by endo, but now I know.
Now we understand.
All right, so I've got more questions. These are just coming from me. I want to know, Doc, what are the medical ramifications of putting your dick on cheesecake?
Oh my God, that's right. Someone totally did that. Thank you to our sex explorer who did that.
Okay, so I suppose that really your biggest risk right there is going to be if you don't clean afterwards, there's going to be enough milk, bacteria, and sugar just sort of left there that if you don't wash for about a week, you're looking at a topical yeast infection your dick.
And yeah, and guys, I mean, I don't know if this is common knowledge. Guys can get yeast infections.
Yeah,
I've had
like
one
guys
before.
Think that they really can't, but they can, and they can pass it back and forth to partners.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to get graphic right here because this question just popped in my head. Can your butt get a yeast infection?
Yes. It generally doesn't happen.
The bacteria is pretty aggressive there for that sort of stuff.
I mean, what would that even...
What?
Would that just mean goo comes out your butt?
Oh, God. We don't have to get that that crazy. But I mean, well, I had a yeast infection. I didn't have goo or anything like that. No, I'm talking about in my dick.
Well, then how'd you know you had a yeast infection?
Usually the smell.
Yeah, I was going to say it, but I was going to, you know, get people warmed up for it. But of course, the doctor's just going to be able to say it. Yeah, the smell. I could smell.
Okay.
Otherwise, I had no idea. It's not like it itched or anything.
Because, you know, female-bodied individuals, you know, for a yeast infection, usually you can tell, like, by the texture, you know, of the juices down there. And the smell. Juices. Yes.
Well, yeah. Well, we've already started this one off with a bang. let's get into why I'm mad at Lily. The reason I'm mad at Lily is because no matter what stupid thing she says, putting your dick in cheesecake, putting your dick in stuffing, lighting your dick on fire, Somebody out there actually does it. I asked for one thing last episode. Pretty simple thing. I just wanted a picture. You don't even remember. You're the one that actually called for it. You said, please, explorers, take a picture of your dick or your vulva with a lemon Oreo. I haven't received one.
Yeah, because you're not being pushy enough.
You should be pushy for me. You're supposed to be my bulldog.
All right, sexplorers, please, 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 instead of setting your dick on fire.
Yeah, well, somebody's fired. We don't need to do that again.
Please submit a dick or vulva pic with Oreos. Please.
Lemon Oreos.
Lemon Oreos. Please.
I mean, like, setting your dick on fire really isn't as bad as you'd think, as long as you use the right substances. Because, see? Like,
that's true, yes. And the person that did this used the right substances to do what they were doing. But I'm just saying that, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, you don't need to be the person to set your dick on fire, because it's been done.
Now you're just raising the ante.
No.
Yeah.
It's not what my intention was.
How about this, explorers? How about set your dick on fire or put it in cheesecake with a lemon Oreo? Or have your dick or vulva with, you know, the lemon Oreo between it.
Oh, that'd be hot. We should get that picture.
Oh, God, I love this.
All right, why don't we get to the questions for people that actually...
Oh, yeah. So, actually, I want to read this one because this one popped right out at me, actually. So, one of our sexplorers wrote in and they said, if you could say anything to those TV doctors who give spurious at best medical advice, what would you say?
I think we're talking about things like Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil, right?
Yeah. The doctors. Yeah.
I mean, like, at that point, I think it's sort of the same thing that I say to every group who tries to go and hide behind air quotes science, which is to say, show your fucking work.
Fuck yes.
Because, like, you know, like, anytime they're like, oh yes, it does this, this, and this, and this, and it's just sort of like, who did this study, how many people were involved in this study, and how many of the additional factors were actually accounted for.
Yeah, sample size is very important. And also, I heard, wasn't there a problem that, like, a lot of studies, I mean, when you get the study group, right? Or not the study group, whatever, the group that you're doing sample the study size. On.
The sample.
Yeah, oftentimes they're always the same, like, group of kids from, like, undergrad school or something like that, because they're willing to do it. So then your sample size are always skewed towards that population.
Yeah, like, so that's part of the problem. Like, another really big one, and, like, I always go back to this one, because, like, I saw this, there was this big thing that was being touted in, like, all the newspapers talking about how, oh, you should really up your vitamin D, because this new study came out, and it shows that if you up your levels of vitamin D, you are more likely to go and live longer. Well,
correlation is not causation.
Well, so the problem is that when you actually go and you look at the study, it was never corrected for age.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that that's important is that if you then go and look at the correlations, you know, that additional vitamin D show, what the study ultimately said is you're more likely to live longer if you're younger.
Oh, imagine that.
Surprise, surprise!
Yeah, like, I mean, you know, I think I said it last time, and if not, I will, you know, go and say it again, which is to say, sort of, you know, my philosophy that I picked up from med school is everything is okay in moderation. It's, mm-hmm. you know, you moderate depending on substance, but, yeah, like, as long as you don't go overboard with it, you're golden.
See, I agree with that 100%, but I think there's one exception to the rule, and I think that there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't have as much sex as possible.
Yes, there is.
No yes, moderation on sex, just full tilt all the time.
No, I think there can be moderation with sex, especially if, you know, you're sore or you have a cut or anything like that. Yeah, there's obvious things.
So I'm saying in general, it's not like, you know, oh, I really love eating apple pie, so like I'm going to eat like a bunch of it. Like that's clearly very bad for you, but generally, the more sex you have, the better it is for you. Of course, a lot of people die having heart attacks during sex, don't they?
Which, on the good point, that's how I want to go.
Or do they not, Doc? It sounds like you have something to say on that.
I was going
to
say, like, a lot more people die from freak accidents relating to sex because they try to spice things up than actually die from heart attacks. I would actually wager that you're probably more likely to go and find more impalement injuries than cardiac events related to sexual activities.
Well, that makes sense.
Wait, impaled? So like?
Well, like, the toilet plunger handle, you know.
Oh, that kind of impaled. I'm thinking like a spike through the heart or something.
Well, that's vampire.
I mean, like, that does sometimes happen.
Oh, I mean, like, you fall or something like that?
Yeah, no, like, you're goofing around and for example, if you hit the bed just wrong and the bed frame breaks, and you roll because the bed frame breaks, if there is a tall corner post, you could get impaled on it. And that's something that has happened.
Well, thankfully
I don't want to know this.
At least we don't have poster bed thing that has spiky things, so we're good.
Yeah, but we have a bunk bed. There's a lot of things that could go wrong there.
So we just don't have sex on the bed.
I was going to say, don't have sex on the top bunk. That's all you need to think of with bunk beds, because there's a lot of people who fall off the bunk bed and end up with... Yeah, but, you know, like, one of the most common sex-related injuries is a broken wrist, and it's because you fall off the bed and you try to catch yourself, and you land wrong, and instead of, you know, deflecting and rolling, people try to go and catch themselves, and if you lock the elbow, your wrist and possibly elbow are going to shatter because of it.
Ouch.
Yeah, I fell off in college, because remember I had the high bed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I fell off in college.
That's common in college. There's a lot of sex going on in college.
But I was also very drunk, so I don't think I felt a goddamn thing.
Five sex explorers jumping on the bed. One fell off and bumped his head. We called Dr. Wolverine,
like,
and Dr.
About
Wolverine
that, but...
said, no more sex explorers jumping on the bed.
It's... I don't care if you're jumping on the bed. It's just sort of a... congregate towards the middle if you're drunk.
That's a general middle gravity going on.
But then if you're jumping on the bed and you have more than two people, you're going to step on each other, you're going to hurt each other, you're going to get hurt if you're jumping on the bed.
I mean, it depends on what kind of jumping we're talking about now.
Well, if you're doing the horizontal jumping, yeah, we're good.
This does remind me, just recently in the news, because of all the bad weather that's been going on, apparently there was, this happens all the time, like the inflatable jumpy castles, you know, got blown over, and usually there's kids that get injured in that. In this case, I think it was some, like, college fair or something like that, but it was all adults
that
had gotten injured in the inflatable castle. I'm like, that would have been my party.
That would have been our party, and all of the people would be naked.
Yeah. Try to explain that one. So, I have a question for you, Doc. Let's say you're jumping on the bed or you're in a bouncy castle, it gets blown over, and you get a a cut, right? And let's say that you're away from regular medical attention, but you happen to have nearby some vodka or some whiskey or some other thing.
Oh my God, wait, are we talking about the movie shit where the guys, you know, get a cut and they pour alcohol straight on their wound?
Yeah, is that a good idea or a bad idea?
If it's over 100 proof, and this is a really, you know, 100 proof means that you are 50% alcohol. At 50% alcohol, you start having antiseptic effects. Like, noticeable antiseptic effects.
So I'm hearing that if I'm, you know, tooling around in my four-wheeler, you know, through the backcountry, and I take
a
spill, I should...
Don't throw a 40 on it.
What? Don't throw what?
A 40.
40? Oh, don't I was going to say a Coors Light.
Yeah, exactly. Like don't throw a Coors Light on it. Don't throw a beer. Go and have, you know... If you're going to be drinking and you want to use it for medical purposes, 100 proof is sort of your make or break where it starts having any reasonable efficacy.
Huh.
But it's going to hurt like fucking hell.
And that's why you drink while you're doing it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You take the bottle shot first and... You know,
which, by the way, in the movie we watched last night, the guy actually did the bottle shot afterwards.
Well, whatever floats your boat, or what's wrong with that?
It is The Rock, so who the fuck knows?
Oh, boy.
So.
All right. Actually, Kit, do you have access to the show notes?
I do. I actually was looking through the listener questions. The one that stands out to me the most, I'm curious about, just because I'm like, oh, I know I don't want to have kids. And someone actually asked about this. What are the odds of impregnation pre and post ovulation, and how do you affect those odds for and against said breeding?
So... People actually really suck at having kids. Like, statistically speaking.
Tell, oh my God, yes.
Like, statistically speaking, really the peak risk factor is under 20%. And that's pretty much like, so in a typical 30-day cycle, 14 to 16 days after your previous period, is when you hit, like, right around an 18% risk factor. But, like, you're in the, like, immediately, like, for the first 5 days leading up to and after a period, there's virtually no risk factor.
Wow.
It's in the, like, hundredths of a It's like in the hundredths of a percentile, but keep in mind that if pregnancy does happen, it's going to be an ectopic pregnancy, and that's going to lead to all kinds of complications. So,
a lot of pregnancy?
It's one that's in the actual tubes.
Yeah, it's where the fetus starts growing inside the fallopian tube.
So, if people are trying to have a baby, do doctors actually recommend that they don't try like during those times?
You want to go and, like, you're going to spend probably 2 months sort of having, like, fairly standoffish levels of sex. Like, maybe, you know, like, probably twice a week is going to be what you're going to be going for while you map out the typical cycle.
Yeah, and, you know, this actually hits a little close to home because I know... Our family members, a couple of ours, are trying to get pregnant right now, and they're not able to.
I don't want
to
think about that.
I know.
I've decided I don't want to think about that.
But it happens. But, you know, and we're not condoning, you know, to having sex, you know, not safely without a condom or anything. You know, be safe.
Yeah. I mean, like, so when you go and apply, you know, condoms, they're 97% effective. Well, when you're already at a 20%, you know, at your 20% risk factor, when you're then down to 3% of 20%, you're at less than a percentile point of risk factor when using a condom.
Wow, that, I find that actually very reassuring because I tend to feel like nervous if I'm like, oh, I don't know, what if I'm too close to ovulation? And I just, you know, my mind starts to go. And of course, that really interferes with having a good time, because then you're sitting there being nervous. But that's actually very reassuring to think that it's you know, a percentage of a percentage. It's such a small factor.
Yeah, your risk factor goes from about 20% to about a quarter of a percent. And then, if you add birth control on top of that, if you add chemical birth control, i.e. the pill, on top of that, then you have another 97% efficacy, so then you have 3% of that 3% of that 20%, and you're at less than a 1 in 100,000 chance at that point of actually getting pregnant when you double up with that. And that's on the riskiest time of getting pregnant.
Wow.
So,
I'm just going to put this out here. Doubling up is great on birth control, I just have to say You have to say it.
Really?
But not doubling up on condoms. Doubling up on condoms doesn't help.
Right.
No.
Well, you have to say that because people do that.
Really? Yeah, no. One condom. If you do more than one condom, what ends up happening is that the latex on latex, or the polypropylene on polypropylene, rub together, and it creates breaks and tears in the condoms themselves, and you actually basically cut down by about a third the effectiveness of the condom, because you have all kinds of little micro tears and high risk of breakage.
To say nothing about the fact that you're probably not going to feel anything from that. Condom.
God, can we just go on a small tangent for a second?
Well, that's been this whole podcast, honey.
Going on the topic of condoms, how does a person with a penis, how do they know what size is right for them?
Honestly, it's all marketing. Go with the standard size. I can go and roll a standard condom from the tip of my finger to my shoulder. I have 32-inch arms. You do not have a 32-inch dick.
You don't know me.
You have died of a cardiac event if you have gotten hard.
And if you're worried about thickness, when I was a sex educator, yes, Sex Explorers, I was a real sex educator for the Red Cross, we used to take regular-sized condoms and roll them over a watermelon.
Yeah.
So, if you're thicker than a watermelon, and you're 33 inches long, whew.
Now you need a Magnum.
Oh, yeah, then you need a Magnum. You're also going to need Dr. Wolverine when you get hard and you freaking zap all the blood out of your fucking central nervous system. Not that that even makes sense.
No, but you'll pass out because all your blood rushes from your body down to your dick.
Exactly. Yeah, no, like, you will risk, what'll happen is you'll pass out because you won't get any of the oxygen transferred to your brain.
Huh. I mean, it's like stepping out into space, in this vacuum of space. Your blood's going to boil.
Okay.
From the vacuum.
So, this actually makes me think of another question, not the blood boiling, but another question.
Go on.
But another question about, when you mentioned chemical birth control. So last October, I thought, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to try the shot. This will be great. And it was the most miserable 3 months I've had in a long time. So I thought, this is no good. Not going to do that. Well, all of these months later, I'm still having cramps and really my cycle used to be like a clock. It was really regular. Not so much anymore. Like, I'm still having things and I'm like, how long does this stuff take before it's like completely not messing with me anymore? Because I'm like, it should have worn off in 3 months and I'd be good to go, but here I am. So I don't know if that's like common or what.
So it's not a common situation, but keep in mind that just because it's out of your system, I mean, like, the depo shot, when you go and you think about it, it is a slow acting delayed release hormone that's sitting in your bloodstream for 3 months. And while on the one hand, yeah, that's great because it prevents pregnancy for 3 months. On the other hand, really it depends person to person. You're talking about a hormone that's in your system that's going to be affecting your biochemistry. And how long you get back to equilibrium really depends on, you know, your own system, because your entire, I guess, the chemical soup that makes up your reproductive system changed for 3 months.
Right.
Every cycle, you're going to have a dump that is, you know, tries to go and wash that out. But depending on how, you know, it can be, I've heard 18 months for your cycle, for your hormones to go and get back to where it was before the shot. And while rare, you know, usually it's 6 to 8 months, it can be longer.
I have noticed it's better every time, so that makes sense. That's encouraging.
What about the arm implant, Doc? I know that one benefits from, you know, because it's an object that's kind of like slow release in your arm. When you take that one out, does that one stay around as long?
I'm trying to go and think of like how to go and explain the subdermal. So the subdermal.
We call it just a matchstick that kind of like dissolves away with the hormone in it, right? Something like that.
Yeah, it is built layer by layer so that it is incredibly similar, like on a day to day, to taking a oral birth control.
You can't forget.
Yeah, but you can't forget about it, because that is how it's designed to do. It's designed to very, very slowly break down to go and release the same hormones in the same rate as chemical birth control, or as oral chemical birth control.
You know, this brings up another good question, because I, in college, I heard of a lot of females doing this, and Lily, I think you know where I'm headed with this.
Yeah, I do.
They do something, I can't even remember exactly what it was, but they would, with the pill birth control, they would like double up on it or something like that.
No, so basically what they would do is, let's say they have a really awesome weekend coming up, but it's going to land on the same day as their period. So what they do is they actually start taking their new pack ahead of time.
To try to like adjust when their
cycle.
That can't be advisable, can it? Is that a good idea, Doc?
there are some birth control regimens that can go and delay your cycle up to 6 months. Like, it really depends on, it's something to go and discuss with an endocrinologist or an OBG.
Not what was happening here. They were deciding, my boyfriend's going to be over, and hey, can I borrow your pills? And like, they would take like two of them, wouldn't they? Or something like that?
No.
Dosing.
No, but it's not even that you change your dosing. What you do is you have your sort of base. So how birth control generally works is a designed in like a 28 to 30 day cycle. And what you have is you have 24 to 26 days of your typical mixture. Then you have 2 days that are progesterone, which will go and trigger a period. And then you have sugar pills for the rest of the dose. So in a 30 day, you have 24 of actual hormonal birth control. Two to go, the next two will go and trigger the period. And then you have sugar pills for the next four to go and finish you off for the pack. And that's just, you know, how it's supposed to go. Well, if you don't take the progesterone and you keep taking the other hormones, you'll just indefinitely go and delay actually going on a period.
Is that bad? Uh-oh. We finally
stumped the doc.
Well, it's not stumped. I think he's trying to say, like, correct me if I'm wrong. It's There's nothing that you're aware of that's necessarily bad about it, but...
Talk to you. Yeah,
the science is still out.
Okay.
Yeah, but this actually makes me think, because I have the arm birth control, and I haven't had my monthly in 4 years.
It's been great.
It's been awesome.
But when she was on the pill, she'd sometimes have
twice a month.
You know, one week, and then the next week it would start all over again, and then you wouldn't have it for a long time, and we were like, oh my god, are we pregnant? It was like all sorts of crazy stuff. She was up and down, and she was really good about taking her pills every single day. She did the sugar pill, she didn't skip that, and she was, you know, I couldn't believe how good she was at it, but still, it was never, you know,
it didn't work as intended.
Right, so I went from having the pill and having like my, you know, period sometimes twice a month to now not having it at all for 4 years, which has been kind of amazing. Mind you, the first 3 months where I didn't get my period, it was a little scary because I'm like, am I pregnant? Is this really working?
Yeah. Well, we weren't allowed to have sex for
first few weeks.
Yeah, that was
scary.
I remember that.
Unless we were using a condom, yeah.
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 Which, yeah,
is sex with a condom. Yeah, when you're used to eating warm apple pie, having, you know, one of those granny apple pies from a gas station that's stale, it's not quite the same thing.
And of course, now all I have in my head is from that movie.
No, we're not talking about that.
American Pie?
Nah!
Steak in your dick.
Well, that was a cherry pie.
Oh, yeah, it was a cherry pie. He was supposed to do an apple pie, but his mom had made cherry.
Excellent. And now we got cheesecake on there, too.
Yeah.
All right, so I think it's time for another doc question. I'm going to start at the top, unlike you crazy people that keep jumping around the list.
Well, that's a good thing.
Now that you have your knowledge of medicine, what's the biggest thing you wish you could tell your younger self on the subject? Getting a little introspective here.
A little meta.
It's not worth it. Go into something else.
But if you did go into something else, you wouldn't have met us wonderful people.
On the one hand, yes. On the other hand, like, I'm just sort of like, well, I mean, like, I guess it's sort of a, I worked myself into being legally blind for 2 weeks, so, you know.
Do you have central serous retinopathy, too? No.
I was gonna say, I had detached retinas.
Alright, that's
first the right and then the left.
Holy shit.
Go on. Sorry,
what happened? Like, what the hell?
Okay, so, I had so it started in the right eye last summer, and I had, it's called a detached vitreous, and basically what it is it's an air bubble that forms in the eye jelly between the lens and the retina. The problem is that the air bubble then migrated towards the retina, and it actually reached the retina, caused some pulling, and the retina started to go and detach from the wall. So I needed surgery to go and fix that. Well, while that was recovering, I was right-eye dominant until that point, and so because I was primarily using my left eye, the act of adapting to that while still working, like, 12 to 16-hour days, it just led to eye fatigue that I ignored to the point that my left eye staged a retin exit. Like, that's the nice way to go and put it.
Oh, my gosh.
Holy shit.
See, I thought you were going to talk about central serous retinopathy, which I'm... are you familiar with?
Similar. A little bit?
Yeah, that's one that I had from stressing the hell out, and it's apparently very common from what my optometrist or... I can't remember what... whatever.
Ophthalmologist,
that's the one. She said that it's very common in doctors and programmers and people with like that kind of job. And what it is I stressed out so much that a blood vessel burst in my eye and I got a blood bubble underneath my retina. So it showed up as like, what it looked like at first is when I looked at if you looked at the sun. I mean, yeah, it happens. But if you look at a bright light or something, you have that, like, gray after ghost image. After image. It was like that, but it got darker and darker. And the freaky part is it was warping my vision because the bubble was actually underneath, you know, the little layer there by the retina. So it was like a funhouse mirror, but not as fun. Actually, I have an interesting write-up on that that I put on Carnal Chameleon. This was before we had the podcast. And they ended up having to inject me with a fluorescent thing. And it made my cum orange, which I was very excited about. But anyway, I thought that's what you were talking about. And I haven't met too many other people that have suffered from central serous retinopathy. But I'm sorry to hear you went through that. That's too much stress, man.
Well, I mean, like, I've come out the other side, and I'm going to therapy for teaching me how not to be a workaholic. So,
good luck with that one.
Therapy is awesome. I've been doing therapy for two years.
When my ophthalmologist said, like, you know, I asked, like, what's the solution to central serous retinopathy, you know, aside from just letting it go? And she's like, well, you know, don't be stressed. And I'm like, well, how do I do that? She's like, good luck. Like, she just said, good luck. I was like, oh, thanks for that.
Is that the one here, the one back in New York?
That was the one back in New York.
Well, that makes sense. It's a New York one.
She's like, let me know if you figure that one out. Great.
Did you know your optometrist, the same one I have, our optometrist down here?
Ophthalmologist.
They showed me the x-ray of your eye or whatever.
They showed you my eye?
Yeah, because I was like, so how do I tell if my eye's good, you know, like... that I'm not forming.
You were worried you had CSR?
I was worried that I was forming something similar. Yeah, so she showed me what yours is and what mine is and showing me the differences. It was really cool.
It's weird. It's a cool image when they image your eye like that because it looks like a volcano and it looked like mine was like Mount St. Helens about ready to burst.
Yeah, and mine just is normal.
Yeah, well, you're normal in that one specific way.
Yeah.
I love you, honey.
Love you too.
All right, so let's see.
Okay, I'm going to try this one.
Lily wants to ask the question.
How common is it for a male age 20-something to find using just their bare hands for masturbation boring?
I mean...
that sounds more like a psychology question almost, but...
I mean, like, it's a common issue because, I mean, like, generally speaking... So it depends on background, but generally speaking, like early to mid 20s is when people actually get to go and explore their kinks because they're no longer homebound.
Yeah. And that age is getting later and later nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah. And now we have, you know, sleeves and everything else for, you know, people to try.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of options, you know, and it would have been hard to come by. But yeah, I don't think that that's so unusual for somebody to find bare hand masturbation boring. I mean, I'd actually kind of flip it and ask, is there someone out there that gets really excited about hand masturbation? If it's someone else's hand, right. But this is, I mean, I guess they're saying it. But here's the thing, and this is a question that is more for people that are into words and that sort of thing. But can someone else masturbate you?
Oh.
Because I think masturbation is just yourself. I can't masturbate you, right? I don't know.
Hard to come by, you say?
You're really excited about hand masturbation?
No, just the hard to come by. That was well played.
That was totally accidental.
Well, and actually, I have to say, though, like, I actually kind of am excited by just hand masturbation, but let me qualify it by saying this. Like, I like the variety. I'm, of course, a dildo fiend, but if it comes to squirting, nothing does the job as well as fingers. So that's why I've stayed excited.
Really?
I've tried lots of toys. Hmm. Nothing is as good. So I like the variety of both. And I use both, and I am excited about it, but I'm excited about other stuff, too, so.
I don't think Lily...
See, like, I'm hearing this, and I'm just sort of thinking of, like... So, now I'm thinking of, like, in the last couple of months, I have accidentally caused 3 people to squirt with oral. And I'm just sort of like,
really?
I wonder if that's finger technique, or if it's something else.
Oh, my God. I've got to say, I totally, like... the context in my head was wrong. I thought you were talking about patience. I was like, what is happening?
Oh my God.
I thought you were saying, I got three patients to,
accidentally squirt.
I mean, I have had, during a prostate exam, people just, collapse in orgasm because they've had a prostate orgasm before. It's a rare experience, but it happens.
Wow. But what do you do? So as a doctor, what do you do when that happens?
You very quickly extract your fingers, and you go, and you just reassure them that sometimes that happens. It's okay, we'll have someone take care of it. Don't feel too embarrassed. Generally speaking, you don't see those patients again, but sometimes they work up the courage to come back.
Yeah, I was going to say, in some cases, you see them a lot. They just keep coming back.
Hey, Doc,
I remember I had to get
a
prostate exam, and my regular doctor wasn't there, and it was a really attractive, probably fresh out of med school, female doctor. And she's like, okay, bend over. And I was the whole time, oh shit, I'm good. Because I am into that. And I was trying so hard not to get erect over this situation. I was just oh boy. She's like, I know, it's hard. It will be fine. I'm like, oh no, you don't understand. This is really enjoyable for me.
You're just trying not to make it uncomfortable.
Yes. Try not to make her uncomfortable. She was the uncomfortable one.
What's this one? Have you ever encountered a pica?
Pica, yes. It's where you have a problem. Isn't it eating inanimate objects?
Only in case studies.
I'm going to look it up just to make sure.
Yeah, because I really don't even know what that is.
Pica is an eating disorder typically defined as a persistent ingestion of non-nutritive substances for at least 1 month at an age for which this behavior is development. I love all the qualifiers on here.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You ate a pen cap. You're not pica, right? Well, yeah. So it's a constantly, I guess.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It's like an oral fixation, but you swallow.
So here's a question.
Can you get that having too much cum part of pica?
Continue.
No. I mean,
well, it says non-nutritive, and yes, cum can be nutritive.
No, cum is nutritive.
So yeah, so it can't be pica.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, cum is mostly just salt water, but it's not considered non-nutritive, so... usually what they're talking about is inanimate objects.
So if you eat air paper, non-nutritive, and I'm not talking about breathing air, because I actually have aerophagia from my CPAP.
Oh, that's right.
And it doesn't say here that you're voluntarily eating it, but I'm eating a ton of air every night.
Oh my God, his farts are crazy.
Oh, thanks for that. Yeah, it's a little uncomfortable.
Okay, I get the next question. So, this is another really good one. I like this one. What's the best aftercare for flogging?
So, I think it depends on the person. Generally speaking, though, and the reason I say it depends on the person is it depends on if skin is broken or not. If you have broken skin, then it's all about going and first treating with hydrogen peroxide, sterilizing, light gauze pads until the bleeding stops. If you have not broken skin, either coconut oil or cocoa butter.
This gives me another question, too. So can you build up a resistance to where you can receive more and more and more flogging without getting damage, if you sort of train for it over time?
They're called calluses, and yes.
I don't know if I want butt
calluses.
I was going to
say calluses.
But, yeah.
One might say you could literally become a callous asshole.
All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And same thing with like your back, or like when I do pole dancing, you know, I used to bruise the hell out of my body. But over time, I've just been able to toughen my skin up.
Well, I flogging generally, you know, most of the way that people are getting flogged, flogging doesn't usually pierce the skin that much.
No, that's more whipping.
You know, whipping and stuff will do that. But, I mean, you can. It depends on the sort of flog you're using. You could have a flog of freaking, you know, spikes and all sorts of crazy stuff like that, or barbed wire. But, you know, the flogging that, like, Lily and I have done, we've never broken the skin with the flogging.
And that's really more what I was thinking is, can you build up a resistance so you don't bruise so easily?
Yeah. Yeah, no. Like, you, in essence, callus the skin the same way that, you know, when you consistently work with your hands, you develop calloused pads. You can basically develop them anywhere. They don't necessarily have the same texture because generally you don't use them quite as consistently, but yeah, you toughen the skin the more you break it.
I think she's saying without breaking the skin.
Well, you toughen the skin the more contact the skin has, the tougher it can get.
So I'm just like, this could be useful, because what if you're just like an easy bruiser and you're like, I don't want to bruise so easily. I'm just going to flog myself all over my body, all over my legs, and build up a little resistance.
Yeah. It takes a long time, I would think, because it's just like with pole. Like, you're going to bruise, but the more you do it,
Bruising could be, that's right. You bruise a lot when you first start, and then
now it's like not that bad.
But I mean, there's also the sensation aspect of it, right? And so that one, definitely you can like train yourself. The more you do something, you can get used to the sensation.
Desensitizing, not
bother you as much. All right, I have one more question, and it's kind of an interesting one.
Okay.
And I think this is the question we're going to end on, unless anyone else has got anything else. Doc, I haven't run this one by you at first. I probably should have, because it might require a little bit of research, or of course you might know it. I've heard not an old wives' tale, I guess a myth, we'll say. Maybe it's a myth, I don't know. That cum for female individuals can be like a mood enhancer, right? Like,
you're basically saying, is cum a happy drug?
Is cum a happy drug? Can it be a happy drug?
No. So semen itself, without any other context, is not a mood enhancer. However, the act of extracting it is.
I was going to say, because it's a mood enhancer for me, but.
Yeah, because I was going to say, if I don't have sex, I actually don't have.
Well, but like here, like, you know, like I joke, like I will go and like jokingly go and like tease friends, like, do you want to go and lower your blood pressure, increase your serotonin uptake, raise your mood, and increase your immunofunction? I'd gladly be your booster. And these are all things that a combination of skin to skin contact and sexual contact will do.
Itself. Because I just when I saw somewhere that like it had a hormonal effect or something like that, but you know, that's fine. I absolutely agree with your assessment, but I still choose to believe it anyway. I don't actually factually believe it. I'm just going to tell myself that that's what's happening.
Yeah, no, it's, so the big thing that is responsible for what you're thinking about is a hormone called oxytocin. It is the cuddle hormone. It comes from, so you get small amounts of it, like, just from hugging, touching, cuddling. However, hugging, cuddling, touching is like you see like 1 to 10 micrograms, and then like if you go and have either like a really good orgasm or like really really satisfying sexual contact, which like the more satisfying the contact, the better the release of oxytocin you get. You can get milligrams of the substance that your brain will just go and dump into your system. And, you know, like, this is sort of the, this is sort of why you'll see a lot of people, particularly with, like, their first fuck, get super attached to someone.
It's literally, they're experiencing, like, a drug reaction.
They are experiencing a reaction that is, you know, about 1,000 times more intense than anything they've experienced before. Imagine feeling good from a hug, and then multiplying that by 1,000, and that's what someone experiences if they have a very good time for their first time.
I heard that, Kit.
Sorry.
You're yawning.
I thought I slipped that in there.
Okay, what did I miss? Because I didn't hear something.
I yawned.
She yawned.
Nothing good.
I'm almost disappointed that it wasn't more than just... than just a yawn.
What were you expecting?
Well, you know, during this episode, I have had my mouth on Max's cock a couple of times.
Really? You're just gonna have that out there?
Why not? Your mouth is on my vulva.
Sorry for ruining the movie magic.
I mean, like, sometimes when you gotta blow, you gotta blow.
Well,
we are divulging.
I'm addicted to oxytocin. It's not fair. But I do think that this kind of confirms that sex is the one thing that it's okay to not use moderation on. Just constantly, all the time, sex. It's good for you.
I mean, like, up until you start getting, you know, friction burns, rubbing tears, things like that. So there is a moderation level. It's just, you know, physical injury.
But
up until like physical...
Yeah, absolutely. But unlike everything else that brings somebody joy, even like exercise, right? Like running and stuff, that can be bad for your knees. Like, sex is pretty low impact usually.
It depends on how vigorous it is. Because, I mean, again, like, one of my favorite joking lines that I use consistently is, did you know that rigorous sexual activity can go and burn 350 calories every 17 minutes? I'd gladly be your personal trainer.
Oh, say that again. Please say that again.
He's got lots of rings. Oh, yeah, I forgot to leave time in his show notes here for you to get off on his voice. I guess, to be fair, you were, you know, licking me and listening to his voice at the same time. Wait, is that why you got all horny? Is that why I was getting all horny? I don't even know anymore.
Oh,
I don't know what's going on. Well, on that note, Doc, I need to get you out of here before I lose my Lily to you. No, I'm kidding. That'd be okay.
I was going to go and say, like, you know, like, I'm pretty sure we're both willing to share, so... Is it really a problem?
Sure is caring.
Does that mean I can have a Max and Doc sandwich?
So I guess we'll be the bread and you'll be the filling? Well, no, I guess we'll be giving
Oreo
you
cookie.
The filling.
Oh, God, I love it.
Yeah, anyway. you're basically like a Twinkie at that point with little three little... Well, we need another person for three.
We can get...
All right, well, on this depraved note, thank you, Doc, for coming on the show. How can our lovely listeners get a hold of you and bug you and give you questions and follow you and worship you?
So I am at @Doc_Wolverine on Twitter. That's sort of my main way to go and get a hold of me. And then, I guess it's, if you're feeling particularly anonymous, I also have a curious cat that I will go and link, I'll link you guys later so that you can go and post it at some point.
And then, I also want to put out there in Sexplorers, if you, we plan on having Doc on again. He's gonna, I think, be like a little regular. And we are going to have a place where if you want to ask him a specific question on our show that we can read out, I'll have that form out there as well.
It's good to be regular.
You know, that's an interesting...
And remember, Sexplorers, you haven't had a testicular exam until you've had a Wolverine give you a testicular exam. <because. laughs>
Oh my god. On that note,
Race to the gutter. We're already here. Look at that. We did the race.
I feel like we've been in the gutter since the get-go.
Race to the gutter. If you Sexplorers remember, this is the newest section we have, similar to what we did before. But in this case, we have a randomly generated phrase, and we ask you what you think about it. First, we're going to go around and talk about it. So the phrase that we had for this past episode block is the languid stranger. Or not the, just language stranger. I've thought about this one, and I have an answer to it, but does anyone want to go first?
Sure. Well, I thought it might be someone who is a stranger to being languid. So someone who's really very rushy, and it's like, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. So that's the languid stranger.
All right. Well, that was kind of a nice one. I mean, you want to be a languid stranger in that case, I think.
Oh, careful. Sorry.
All right, Lily, you got something to say? You look like you got something to say.
So a languid stranger to me as a sexual act is if a person who's really kind of sleepy gets in bed with a stranger and then has sex.
Previously set up with consent.
Yeah, previously set up with consent. You know, it's like that sleepy kind of sex with a stranger.
All right.
Yeah.
Doc, you got something?
I mean, like, I feel like it's sort of a... It's an expansion on a massage with a happy ending.
Ooh. That's what I need.
You guys all kind of went like sort of nice and you know.
Okay, tell us your crazy shit.
It's not like it's crazy. It's not crazy. But I think the language stranger, I think that this should be the term for when this happens. It is when, you know, when you're heading on down to the bathroom stall to go to the, you know, the local glory hole, as you do. But
wait,
whoever's on the other
end,
glory holes exist, absolutely. But you're going down to the local glory hole. But whoever is on the other side of that glory hole just can't get hard. It is a languid stranger.
Oh my. I think that has to be it.
That's far more tragic than where anyone else went.
Oh, my God. So what did our listeners say?
Oh, yeah. We got to actually pull this up. I have to actually...
So while he's pulling that up, I'll explain that...
Well, I'm pulling it.
You are yanking it sometimes. Basically, we're just going to see what our listeners thought. And I'm really curious. Like, I'm really...
I thought you were explaining something there.
No, I forgot what I was going to say.
It's just that circle.
I just keep getting into a languid stranger, like going down to a glory hole. Like, that's all I can think about right now. My brain's like, huh.
I've never actually seen a real glory hole.
I have
or
once.
Used. There was like a hole in the wall of the bathroom at the college I went to, and it was labeled as a glory hole, but I'm like, come on, no one's actually ever used
this.
The
only time I've ever seen one was in a girl's restroom on our way out here from New York.
Oh, really? You didn't pull me in?
It was kind of skanky in there.
Fair enough. Well, it sounds like you got something to say, Kit.
Huh, Nope.
Oh. Nope, got
I think you've said
say.
It all.
Have you tried
I
one?
Think you have said it all.
I would like to try a consensual glory hole.
Yeah.
I would, you know, set up in a situation, like everyone knows everyone, but like even just the idea of being, you know, and it's clean or whatever, but like, you know, you can't see the person and here's just the thing through the hole. I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
Here's an interesting discussion point. So, who is the dominant partner at a glory hole?
Oh, man. With a lot of things, it's actually kind of hard to tell. You know, we used to think for sure that gangbangs, like, oh, well, clearly, like, these guys are just dominating
the girl. No, it's the female has all the fucking power. We've talked about this before.
When we went to an actual gangbang and we witnessed it.
And participated.
Okay, yes, and participated. But before that, like, we observed for, like, a couple hours. And it was clear, by far, that the two women that were participating were in full control of everything that was going on and were giving out orders. And that was, like, a shocker for me. So, yeah, in a glory hole, it's hard to say. I think it depends on the situation and the person. But to automatically assume that just because there's a person that appears to be in the submissive position does not mean that that's the case at all. Mm-mm. Well, any other thoughts on that?
I mean, I would argue that the person in the glory hole is definitively the dom, because the person who is putting a dick in the hole is completely at the beck and whim of the person who is within. They have absolutely no control, no say.
She can bite the dick.
No, he's saying the way that you're thinking. The person that's actually in, like, the person that's putting the dick in their mouth has the control.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
They have complete control. Like, they get to go and decide. Like, they could just leave you hanging for hours.
Or,
if they wanted to.
You could pull out and go away, though. So, in a way, you really have control if you're the one, like, through the hole, because you're like, I don't like this. You can just, like, be gone.
It could be like a sexy sausage situation, right? You can't leave until you suck that dick, right? Then they're dumped. Lily, you look like you're so dull.
My brain honestly has gone down a rabbit hole and it has gone far, far, far.
Let's play a game. Suck the dick in front of you in order to leave the room. Wait, this is a good idea for an escape room.
I would go to that escape room. I like that. That's a good idea.
Literally, my brain has, like...
You have to suck the dicks in the right order. All right.
Oh my god.
We need a trisexual's escape room. This must happen.
Don't ask where the key comes out.
It could come out the mouth. It doesn't have to come out the butt.
Alright. So what did our six explorers think of Languid Stranger? So here we go. We got four of them right here. Alright, so Languid Stranger this is the first we've ever heard or read these. Don't read ahead.
Sorry.
Alright. A Languid Stranger is laying on your arm until it falls asleep, and then trying to masturbate with it so it feels like someone else that can't move very well doing it.
That is awesome.
I love
that. I love that one. Whoever did that, that's brilliant.
Yeah, I don't think anyone left their name here. I asked for it. Well, but maybe I'll have to put, I'll put a name. No, that won't share it. I'll have to put a name thing that's optional for if people want it. Okay, so Languid Stranger. When you sit on your hand after edging for 3 days, so this is similar to the last one, let it get numb and give a hand job to someone else. Oh, interesting.
Nice. These are really good. I struggled with this, you guys. I want you to know. I had to think and think about mine, and that was the best I got. You guys are you've got it.
The sex explorers, they got it going on. You know, they know this stuff.
They do.
I remember I posted this link, and I heard a few people go, oh, I know exactly what that is, and jumped on it. So thank you for everyone that participated, by the way. This is excellent. All right, so we got two more. Sitting on your hands. Oh my god, here it is again!
Man, that must be a popular answer.
Sitting on your hands until they go numb, then giving yourself a sensual massage.
Ooh.
So there you go.
I love I love this last one. I absolutely love it.
Then the black sheep of the answers. I love you very much.
Masturbating with a pudding cup. Can we just say, I really want someone to do this because I want to know what it feels like.
Oh, you want the freaking sticking your shit in food. Oh my god, you got a food fetish, clearly.
Yes I do. Is there anyone out there that wants to see it?
What does Languid Stranger have to do with mastering with a pudding cup?
I have no idea.
Maybe it's because the pudding cup is cold and it makes you languid. I don't know.
Alright, there we go. You've been listening to the Trisexuals Podcast. Remember to rate us on iTunes. Tell your friends about the podcast. Join us on Twitter, Instagram, and Telegram, and Reddit. Links and other information are in the show notes. I'm Max Chameleon, the sexy, sloppy, sticky, languid stranger.
I'm Lily Chameleon. My nipples will hypnotize you to do crazy things with your genitalia.
And I'm Kit. And come is my happy
place. Yay! Yay! Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Love ya. Have a good night.